The prayer closet, sat half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893. Or prayer at yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so you don't need to worry about that. We just want to pray for you today. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we can have together to come and pray for one another, to uplift one another, to help one another, support one another, to praise one another, and to praise you, and to care for each other, show our love for each other by bearing one another's burdens in prayer. And so, Lord, we pray that as we come together today as your people to lift each other up before you, Lord, that you would hear and receive each one of these requests, that you would move in the hearts and the lives of each of these people, that they would experience you in all your fullness and goodness and grace. And we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. As we pray for you today, our Christmas messages, starting theming our messages around Christmas this week, as we kind of held off on that so we could do that these final weeks. And we're going to be looking at Matthew and in Luke, of course, looking at different aspects of the Christmas story as we will lead up to Christmas Day. To begin, when we look at the book of Matthew, it begins, of course, with the genealogy, which I always thought was weird growing up. You know, I was like, why do all these names? Let's get to the birth of Jesus and all that. And I admit, I've never been one all that interested in genealogies. I mean, occasionally, you know, you break out the pictures and the family, you know, you look, it's cool to look at some of the old photos and they'd be like, oh, this is your old great uncle so-and-so, and, you know, to trace it back. But I never, you know, was like obsessed with, like, you know, these people get on Ancestry.com and stuff and go back and trace their history. I don't know. I just never, I mean, I liked it. I like learning about it when I studied it. And we did have an aunt who was big into that, and she would trace our family back, and she had all the kinds of stuff. And in fact, my oldest son Gibson got his name because we were looking at some of the things after my aunt passed away. My mom got some of the stuff, and so we were looking at some of the history, and we found the name of Thomas Gibson was one of our ancestors, and we're like, hey, that'd be a great name for someone, Gibson. And it ended up being his name. So we did do that. But a few years ago, when my grandmother was still alive, she was living with my folks. You know, my grandfather passed away and her health was declining, so she came to live with my folks. And one day, she's telling us this story about how my grandfather's dad was killed in Toledo. And we're like, what? We had known that he had kind of died under shady circumstances. Everybody kind of knew that, but it wasn't really talked about. That my grandfather's dad had died under some suspicious circumstances, but nobody ever really talked about it, and so we didn't really know much about it. But one day, my grandma just starts telling the story and how he was in Toledo and was shot and killed in Toledo. I'm like, well, what's going on? This is crazy, because my parents actually grew up in Pittsburgh. They didn't grow up in Toledo. They had never been to Toledo. And we ended up living in Toledo because my dad's work moved him here. And so, because I was born in Detroit, and my parents both were born and raised in Pittsburgh, and that's where all our family's from. So we kind of ended up in Toledo just, you know, through work and stuff, so it was kind of an arbitrary thing. Then to find out that our great-grandfather had been shot and killed in Toledo. And there was debate about whether it was in a pool hall or something, or some debate, got in a fight or something. So she started to tell us, and I remember writing a few things down, but and always meant to kind of follow up and find out more information about it. And we'd occasionally ask her things about it, but never really did. And then she passed away. And so one day I was like, you know, I really want to find out about this. I want to find out about this relative who was killed in Toledo. It's crazy. So I did. I did the whole Ancestry.com thing and went online, and I had a cousin and lives now in Colorado. She sent me some information. She found a newspaper clipping about the story, and that led me into the thing. We found all this information about him. And he wasn't a pool hustler. He was a bowler. He was a big bowler. And was actually well-known in the city of Toledo for his bowling skills and abilities back in the 20s. And it was not shot as a result of a pool hall argument or anything. But apparently the theory is that he was running illegal liquor during Prohibition, and or was with people who were doing so, because the people who testified at the time said they couldn't imagine him being involved in the liquor business. But they were out one night with some friends, and the sheriff was out stopping people. He was stopping, you know, rum runners. And they told the car to stop. They wouldn't stop. They chased after him, started shooting at him, and apparently shot and killed him, and they dumped his body out on the road. And we actually found out the road. I mean, it's over by Wolf Creek YMCA. And I think we know the area where they actually left his body and things. And it was like, oh my gosh, we went and he's buried here in Toledo. We went and found his grave and all that. So why do I tell you all this story? That doesn't sound very Christmassy, right? You know, my great-grandfather being shot for running liquor. But I tell you the story because, you know, became fascinated with his history and learned about, you know, his life and what he was doing and where he's going. And it was fascinating to discover that and to learn about that. And through that, learn, you know, some other relatives and people. And you start to build this tree, and it's like amazing, these things that you can discover and find. The colorful characters that exist in your family tree. And my family tree didn't seem to be particularly religious. Now, if you chase us all the way back, we go back to William Penn and the Quakers. So, you know, we had a religious start, but then it kind of, you know, veered. You know, they weren't crazy people, but, you know, didn't seem to be real earnest church-going folk. Until we get down to kind of like my parents and maybe a little bit with my grandparents. And that certainly with my parents, you know, much stronger believers. And they passed that on to us. And so I was fortunate maybe to be born into our family tree at the time that I was. But you look back at Jesus's family tree and you have this long lineage here in the beginning of Matthew. And as I was reading through this, and you know, there's a lot of names. Of course, there's familiar names, right? Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob, because it goes back to Abraham. It begins with Abraham, because the promise is made to Abraham. Then there's Judah, the father of Perez, and Zariah. His mother was Tamar, right? We know Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron, and Hezron, the father of Ram. And now we're getting into names we don't really know. Who are these guys? Aminadab, and Nashon, and Salmon, the father of Boaz. Now we know Boaz, right? The mother was Rahab. Boaz is the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, right? We know them. And then Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. And then from David, you know, we have Solomon and Rehoboam and all these other guys. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Manasseh. And while there are certainly some names in there that aren't so great, what we see is the preservation of the faith through these generations. Not that every generation was always faithful, and some we don't really know about. Some we know weren't all that great. Others were wonderful. But that the word of God and the faith was preserved through all these generations so that by the time we get to Joseph, you know, there's Eliud, the father of Eleazar, Eleazar, the father of Nathan, Nathan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. We get all the way down to Jacob, or to Joseph. And what do we find? Not a king. Not a great man. Certainly, in some ways, you could look at this lineage and say, whoa, well, there was a deep fall from David to Joseph. I mean, that's a pretty precipitous collapse from being, you know, royalty to being a simple carpenter in the city of Nazareth. That's a fairly steep drop in the family fortunes. And from an outward worldly perspective, it was. The family had certainly seen greater days. than when, you know, it got down to Joseph. They had been mightier. They had once been rulers and kings, and now they were just kind of anonymous folk living their lives. Would have been forgotten to all of time. Just another random collection of people who lived and died. Made no real mark on the world if not for this baby Jesus. So they certainly, from a worldly perspective, don't look like they've done well for themselves. But here's the thing we know about Joseph. He was a godly man. And that faith came from somewhere. I'm betting that faith came from his father. And his faith came from his father. And while it's not an unbroken line of wonderful faith, throughout this list, we see great people of faith. And there may be a generation here or there where it's not so hot, but what we see is a history of the faith being passed on from one generation to the next. Not perfectly, but consistently. So that by the time we move from Abraham to Joseph, we move from one godly man to another. Because of the faith that was passed down. Because of the faith that was transferred on from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next. So that Jesus had a godly family to be born into. He had a godly father, earthly father, and he had a godly mother. That both Joseph and Mary were good, godly people, trying to live upright and righteous lives before the Lord. And in Luke, of course, we have the lineage leading through Mary. And it's the same thing. A record of faith being passed from one generation to the next. At Christmas time, we often celebrate traditions that are passed down. It's a tradition in our family to open up our gifts on Christmas Eve. It's a tradition in our family to, we always have to have, cinnamon rolls and big breakfast for Christmas, or we always have to, you know, do this or do that. And it's these traditions that we've passed down from one generation to the next. And why do we keep them? Because they connect us, right? They connect us back to that generation. They connect us back to those who came before us. They connect us back to our family. They connect us back to that lineage that we're a part of. And in ways, keep our ancestors alive. It's a way of remembering them, of honoring them. But what greater lineage can we pass down? What greater inheritance can we pass down? What greater connection can we have to our previous generations than our faith in Jesus Christ? Than the faith that is passed from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next. That Jesus was promised to be an ancestor of Abraham and an ancestor of David required a family tree in which the faith was consistently, not always perfectly, right? Some of these names we read aren't great names, although many of them are. But consistently, that faith was passed down. Consistently, that faith was transferred from one generation to the next. So that Joseph was ready when God was ready. He was there, a man of faith that God could entrust to care for his son. That's an awesome responsibility, you think about it. Joseph's job was to care and protect for Jesus and Mary. To watch over them, to keep them from harm. To ensure nothing happened to them. To provide for them and care for them. It's an awesome responsibility. But God was able to have a man in place who could bear that responsibility because of the faith that had been passed down from generation to generation. As we enter into this Christmas season, as we're in the midst of it, let us remember that this Christmas was a long time in coming. That Jesus' birth was a long time in coming. And there were a lot of people, a lot of names on this list. They're fairly anonymous. We don't really know much about them. They're just names, weird sounding names. But they play a vital part in this story of Jesus. And that they faithfully live their lives and pass that faith on to the next generation. Without them, we would have a very different story. Without them, would Joseph have known God? Would he have been a righteous man? Because his righteousness, in many ways, is a reflection of his family and his lineage and those who passed the faith on before. Does you remember your holiday traditions this year and connecting in with your past and those who came before? Let us also remember those who passed their faith to us before. And maybe you have a deep history of that and you can trace that faith back deeply in your family and all these pastors and ministers and godly people. Maybe you're the one. Maybe you're the Abraham in your family. You're beginning it. Your family doesn't have a strong tradition. They don't. You weren't raised in a Christian home. It wasn't passed down, but God got a hold of your life. And now you're living your life for God, and you're getting ready to pass that on to your children. You're the Abraham of your family. You know, it had to start somewhere. This lineage had to start somewhere. It started with Abraham, one of the greatest men of faith in all the Bible. And you can see his faith through all these generations leading up to Jesus. Maybe you're the Abraham in your family, beginning that new tradition of faith. Whatever it may be, celebrate that this Christmas. And celebrate the faith that came before you that made your faith possible. It is the Prayer Closet, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. And you have one request in. Boy, it's a tough one. Thursday, a single father of three accidentally died while making a Christmas present for one of his children. This is a nephew of one of our listeners. Right now, his sister has emergency custody of the kids, but obviously just a horrible thing to happen. Please pray for the children and the grandmother and the rest of our family and friends. This time, I'm having trouble understanding why. Lord, we do lift this family up to you right now. What a terrible tragedy, especially around the time of Christmas. And we just can't even imagine how this family is grieving, these children grieving to lose their dad. And, you know, now in the custody of their aunt. And Lord, we lift them into your care. Lord, knowing that they need your grace and mercy, your love to envelope them and to help them, that only you can sustain them in this time, and that you would indeed sustain them. Lord, that you would move in a mighty and a powerful way in the lives of this family to show your love, your grace, your comfort, your peace, even in the midst of this tragedy. We pray that, as I know, the Return of Rage resources for funerals and things like that, for the kids, that those things would be provided in abundance. We pray for understanding for them. Lord, let us not shake their faith, but let us turn to you and strengthen their faith in you. Lord, as they find their help and their hope in you, Lord, will you envelope them in your love? We pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to the Prayer Closet. Remember, if you have a prayer request or prayer need, you can always get that to us by going online to prayer@yeshome.com. Just email or texting there. You can call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 419-389-0893, and somebody here will be happy to pray with you. And you can also get connected to Live Online Spiritual Coach for an online chat session by going to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the Chat Now button. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God bless everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow on the Prayer Closet.